Well, and this time I've invited and would like to invite the pastors of the fellowship of the satellite churches to come to the ministers' chairs at this moment. And I've asked each one, I've given each one 5 minutes. You know how hard that is to share, you know how hard that is on pastors to give them 5 minutes? I've given each one 5 minutes to explain on total deliverance services. It's going to be fun to see what they do with it. And Fred Langford wasn't able to be here this morning because they're having a service in their church, but he sent a letter down. Would you come right now, pastors? Where are you? Hit the front. Lay up to the bridge. And so he sent a letter, and so with the reader of that letter, here comes right here, and we're going to put you on first. We just want to hear what God has been doing in their churches. We know what God's been doing here, been doing good things, and I thought you would like to hear also what they're doing in their churches in the area of deliverance. Each one of you, I want, for the sake of those that don't know you, I would like you to, let me peek on that. I want me to, one of those Barnett jokes, not very good. I'd like you to state, you know, your name as a pastor and where you're from so everybody will know.
I'm Brother Ron Lowry on staff here at the church, and I'm standing in kind of as a vocal, say, amanuensis for Brother Fred Langford, who's up at, we heard last night, was on the east side of Jordan, up in Kirkland. So I'll read his little letter here to us, Brother Fred Langford. It says, "Dear brethren in Christ, greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus to all of you from Kirkland Community Chapel. I'm sorry I couldn't be here to personally share with you, but I trust God will bless these few words of written testimony. As many of you know, this church was formed about 4 years ago out of a fellowship and Bible study numbering around 30 adults. Most of them were solid members of this church, speaking of here, up to that time, and had to forsake the security and mature leadership of their home church to become pioneers in that work. So most of them were here, and then they went to Kirkland. Since the beginning, we have enjoyed slow but steady growth in numbers and maturity, and despite the handicap of having to train an inexperienced pastor along the way. So, says I estimate our number at present to be about 150 adults. Along with children and visitors, a Sunday service would have perhaps 200 brethren attending, which is nearing the capacity of our sanctuary. We have a Sunday school program and music ministry patterned after yours at the main church. These, together with Tuesday evening Bible studies, which I teach, are our two regular services, our youth fellowships, men's prayer breakfasts, ladies' fellowships, and a few others comprise the bulk of our ministry here. I feel we reached a major turning point in our assembly following the elders' retreat this last winter. That was January of this year, but Warm Beach. It was mainly accomplished to me, but the change God wrought enabled me to take a more decided direction with the church, especially with regard to prayer. Said I began to pray longer and more fervently myself before services and after services, laying hands on others and occasionally singing in the spirit. The elders and many of the people did the same. Prayer meetings began to form in homes, and the elders and their wives began praying together weekly. It was a real profound effect on them. The result has been a general increase in anointing and worship in our services and a good deal of spiritual growth in many of our people. If you had come to a pre-service prayer time here a year ago, you would have beheld a dozen or so saints scattered across the altar and praying very discreetly indeed, he says. Today, you would see a good portion of the people, though not so many as I hope yet to see, praying with a distinct lack of discretion, laying hands on one another, and often singing in the Spirit together, praise the Lord. Deliverance Ministries came to Kirkland soon after Brother Keith and others from Wisconsin visited here last spring. One of our people who needed deliverance was here in one of those daily meetings held with the brethren from Chippewa the first week, and Keith determined that I should officiate at her deliverance. With his gentle encouragement, I commanded a spirit of rejection to come out of her in the name of Jesus. At this time, the spirit seized her faculty of speech and declared with eyes blazing that he didn't want to come out. This was my first encounter with such things, and as the hair stood out of the back of my neck, I looked up to Keith for advice. He was smiling delightfully. And after a few words of instruction, departed, leaving me a small group of faithful, earnest prayer soldiers to see the battle through. Soon she was delivered from spirits of rejection and anger and a deceiving spirit, which only the week before had boasted audibly to her he would never be found out. So it boasted that way. And Fred gave me liberty to just to digress for a moment here, and something quickened in my mind this morning as I was reviewing this. And maybe some of this will help some of you. I don't know how many are still having this problem about can demons speak through Christians. But I'd like to just share something with you this morning. Remember how incredible it seemed from some of you that have never been spirit-filled, and then you got spirit-filled, how incredible it seemed that God, being a spirit, could speak in tongues through people all over the world in different languages all at the same time. Interesting how God did that. And in the things of the Spirit, I believe there's conversely a truth here. I'd like to share that with you this morning. It's in Matthew 10. It says here, when they're delivering you up to be before the councils and all that, it says, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Speaking of that time when they would come. And another verse, Mark 13, talks about the Spirit, the Holy Ghost speaking in you. And conversely, it could be true, because we're in a spiritual realm, that if God can speak through millions of Christians all over the world at one time, conversely, it can be true that in the spirit realm, demons can speak. And they do. And we've seen this, and here are examples of it. And it's in the Scripture, very clear. It goes on here, "In succeeding months, we have seen a large portion of our people seeking and receiving deliverance from the Lord Jesus. Testimonies are coming forth each week, bringing new reports of genuinely delightful victories. This is not to say the deliverances have gone perfectly smooth or that no puzzlements or vexations have stood in our path, but through the teaching and encouragement of our brethren here and the wisdom God teaches, we are being led in triumph in Jesus. A few weeks ago, in one of our two weekly meetings for deliverance prayer, I was summoned to our parking lot. A woman of the church who has always been a sound and earnest Christian was seized with a manifestation and fled the building, shouting that he hated us," speaking of the demon, "and threatening to kill this poor victim," he has in brackets here, "who later shared she had been helpless to affect what was happening. She couldn't change or alter what was happening. And a spirit of man-hatred had also firmly controlled her physical body that she had to be carried back in the church by the brethren. It says the demon, he submitted to our demands to speak with our sister." In other words, they commanded him to stop speaking, and so they were able to speak to the sister, "who immediately took God's side and asked us to press the attack. Man-hatred, several other, and others eventually fled, and the contrast between his vehement, hateful nature and that of our sister was by then in the victory and in the glory. And she was shining like an angel and was truly remarkable and a real delight. She shared in service later how the demon had entered in childhood and how he hindered her relationship with her husband and even with God. She was then and has ever since been aglow with a new freedom and love." Hallelujah. "We have had several folks who have not felt the presence and blessing of the Lord for months or even years, who have been delivered of occult demons or ones related to unbelief and have been purely transformed during this deliverance. One brother who was obedient and faithful but never seemed to step into the glory has changed so wonderfully you'd hardly recognize him. Pre-service prayer now finds him up front, slapping his knees and praising God. It says here, he's done with the mopers and in with the hopers. We are truly blessed of God. I must leave off 10 times more than I write here. I've not spoken of several truly delightful transformations and deliverances I have experienced personally. Much, of course, remains to be done, but we are confident of this. He who has begun a good work in us will perform it. Jesus Christ, my love to you all, Fred Langford, pastor of Kirkland Community Chapel and Bible Training Center."
Praise the Lord. Brethren, you just go up as you feel led. I'm going to, because there's quite a lot of people here, I'm going to signal you at 5 minutes. I'm going to signal you again at 6 if you're not stopped. And that means you're right all done. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Keith Gunn from Chippewa Falls. As I was listening to that, I thought, now that sounds like a normal church service, doesn't it? My, I don't know exactly where to start or exactly what to say, and like Fred mentioned in that letter, we can only hit on just a few of the things that are happening. But as a pastor, I believe that God gives us a lot more insight into the conditions of the church and what is happening that a lot of people see. I have a few people in our church that, after all of the deliverances, have not really, their questions in their minds, well, I don't really see that much of a change, but there is a real tremendous change taking place in people. My. I think one of the biggest problems that we face as humans is not knowing just how destitute and how bad off we really were. And I didn't know the condition of my spiritual walk with the Lord, like I do now. And so it's opened me up to the things of God so that I can really cry out to Him and say, Lord, what do you see down in there that still needs to be changed? As a matter of fact, I've had a couple of deliverances myself, not with those dire manifestations like we've seen, but of areas inside of me that I didn't even know I had. And God has done something in me as a result of it. Our whole congregation has totally changed. And if there's anything that pleases a pastor, is after you've tried so hard in so many areas over the years, and then suddenly to see the lives transformed underneath. And the marriages that I mentioned that were coming together. And after we had been here and went back home, we had a number of marriages that were really in bad shape. After all of the good news I brought about how good the marriages were, and I thought, it can't be. Not after all of the things that God is doing, it just can't be. But there was a reason for it. There were hidden areas that they had suppressed over the years. And I didn't know anything about them, and they weren't really willing to share with anybody about these things. And all of a sudden, those things just manifested themselves. And so we have had deliverances take place that have been phenomenal because God is bringing something. He wants something done now, and He's forcing the issue. And that's what's happening. This summer has been a glorious summer at Community Chapel in Chippewa. And we made it with flying colors this summer. Summers have been our weakness. And it's been because we have a lot of winter back in Wisconsin. And like Don said one time, is there any time between mosquitoes and snow? And there really isn't. And anyway, this summer, God has miraculously set the stage so that our people have been totally involved, and I would say 90% of our congregation, night after night after night after night. We had a slack off time about 2 months ago, and where it just seemed like everybody got busy, but now it is glorious. And we have people coming from other churches. Some of the ministers aren't too excited about it, but we have them coming from a real large radius, and we have seen multitudes of people, not multitudes, dozens of people, it grew, and that have been delivered from other churches within a 100-mile radius. And the thing that is so amazing is how many people know about deliverances that we never knew anything about it. This is not new. I thought, this is something new. Well, it was new to me, but there are many people that have been involved in this for probably 25 or 30 years within our immediate area. But, because of the lack of teaching and the lack of sound doctrines, and because they've gone off into some foolish things, there's a sour taste in some people's minds, and we have to realize that. But, that doesn't have to stop what God wants to do. That is a matter of fact. The challenge is even greater, but His power is greater. And so no matter what the obstacle is, God is able to overcome that. My. Hallelujah. I don't know if our reputation got any better. Somebody said, well, we didn't have anything to lose. But if we did, we lost it. But I've been ministering on the radio every Sunday morning, and we've accumulated a fairly large listening audience of several hundred at least, and possibly more, that listen Sunday after Sunday, some of them in agreement and some of them in disagreement. It's a glorious thing that God is doing through it. And so I'm excited about it. And hopefully, maybe in just one of the services, I can just share a few more things. I haven't been feeling good, and so I've been kind of sitting quiet, but I appreciate it if you pray for me. Something happens when I come over the mountains. God bless you.
Keith, put on the dry dock, let him heal, if you will. You ministers, join with me, heal. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we would come right now in the name of Jesus. We would come on behalf, O God, of Thy servant. And I would ask, oh God, that you would clear up these sinuses.
Yes, right now.
And that you would clear up, oh God, this cough. And oh Lord, that you would trade the tiredness, oh God, for vigor in the body. In the name of Jesus, by the laying on of hands, we pray, Lord, that the healing virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ might now come down upon him. Heal him in the name of Jesus. Show forth thy healing virtues. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We take authority over the enemy of his soul and over the tiredness of his body and over the viruses and over the sinus infection. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go. In Jesus' name be healed. Lord, give him a new strength. Give him a new strength in body, soul, and spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. One thing that happens to him is he drives all the way out here, and then all of his friends keep him up half the night. And one thing Keith hasn't learned yet, and I'm going to tell on him publicly, he learned bad habits back there. You know how I'm saying this, because he stays up day and night, you know, praying for people and visiting and worshiping and all of this, you know. And I kidding him, he took me home the other night, and I imagine how tired he was, you know. I made some remark about, he mentioned about a demon. I talked about the demon of keeping him up late, you know. But you know, he's been going hard for a long, long time. And we appreciate him being able to come out of here. I'd like to have him rested, you know. And so what I'm trying to say is, some of you, if you're kind of rushing him, keeping him, you know, in the daytime, the evening, he needs a little chance to lie down and get a rest, get a little strength in his body.
Praise the Lord. I'm up here for the test of tests, 5 minutes, right? I'm going to try, have some notes here I'm going to try to share from. And Keith said it's very difficult to share all that God has done. But the most significant thing to me was the sovereign hand of God in the deliverance ministry that we began to experience. In the middle of May, my wife suggested to me that I listen to a certain sermon tape. And it was when Don was sharing about what God was doing in Keith's church. And all he mentioned was a few little details and said that there was a tape he was going to circulate around to the eldership, which I was very jealous for at that exact moment. We didn't get that tape until a few weeks later. And the only reason I'm mentioning that is because we didn't know really what was going on. We heard that Keith was going to be in Seattle that next weekend, and as soon as he was and things began to happen, we have a grapevine. I think we find out things quicker than most of you do. But, you know, people with friends here and so on, we began to hear that people were experiencing deliverances and that there were manifestations. And so I ask a few people in the church, well, what is a manifestation? You know, and well, I don't know, you know. People began to tell them that, and they didn't know any details at all. So I gave a quick call up to my sister up here and just asked her, what's going on? She says, well, they're manifestations. So I said, well, no, wait a minute. Tell me what a manifestation is, you know. And so she just shared with me, well, there were noises and different things that were coming out of people. It was quite frightening and so on, but very, very little was I told about what was going on. And that week, though, I should say this, I prayed a very short prayer, but a very earnest prayer to the Lord. And I said, Lord, whatever you want us to have, I want to have. But I don't want anything that's going to hurt me. I don't want something that I'm going to hurt myself with, my family, my church. I don't want something I can't handle. Because the implications of the little I knew were quite frightening. So I said, Lord, whatever you want us to experience, Lord, let us experience that. Well, it was that next Sunday night, after I had talked to my sister, that I went to church and I gave a sermon on victory in the Lord. And at the end of it, I just gave about 5 or 10 minutes about the little that I knew was going on here. And at the end of it, I made a statement that most of us laugh now in our church. I said, now, I don't want any of us praying for anyone in this manner. I don't think this is for us right now. Very cautious. Frightened, I guess. And I said, I don't want us pushing this at all. So I don't want anyone praying in this manner. I don't think this is for us right now. Really what was in the back of my mind, I really thought, well, Lord, I think we're probably too young for this. And I don't know if I can handle this and so on. Well, the Lord had other ideas. There was a sheep there that didn't hear what I said, and I thank the Lord for that. He came up. Through the whole service, I knew there was something wrong, though. He had his head down, and I knew he was getting touched, but I didn't know what it was. And there was demons. Began to buffet him. And he came up with tears in his eyes, and he said, Nikki, you've got to pray for me. He says, I've got demons that are trying to cause me to do things in the last few months. And he says, and if I give in, I know if I don't get rid of them now, I'm going to do things that I'm going to regret in my life. So we went in the back prayer room, and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what would happen. I laid my hands on him, and I prayed for people, more or less, you know, coming against the devil. But again, God had different ideas. And as I laid my hands on him, he began to shake. All these strange, sounded like animal noises began to come out of him, followed by screams and yells and so on. It took about five or six of us to hold him down. And I knew this was it. I said, this is what's happening. Now, I didn't know what was going on up here. I had no idea. I said, I know now. And I had never ministered in this realm before, but God gave me discernment. He gave me understanding. I knew exactly what to do. And, you know, it was rather funny. It sounded like what happened with Keith. There were a number of people that left the church. It was just the right people that were left. And there was only about 15 of us. But boy, that struck fear and faith in the hearts of those people. And it began to open up deliverance for us in a tremendous way. The deliverance that began to follow were time-consuming. I don't think I've ever felt more swamped at times, but and busier, my wife and myself, praying for people. But it's caused me to be excited because I feel like we're finally beginning to redeem the time. When I consider all the time we've wasted, I feel like the busier we get, hallelujah, because we're beginning to redeem the time that we have wasted. We've had many things that have affected the people. They begin to obey the Word of God like never before. I prayed for one fella and didn't mention anything about what he should do when he went home, and he got delivered from a demon of alcohol that was just buffeting him. He walked out with just a glow on his face. He went home, and his wife began to hear. She didn't come. She was sleeping. Strange noises in the living room. And all of a sudden, the lights just went out. And she walked in there, and here was her husband. Evidently, he was trying to pull the cord out of the television set. When he started driving home, he said he just got such a vehement hatred for that TV, she found him picking it up, ready to throw it out the door. And she said, wait, maybe we can sell it or something. But, you know, I had preached that for years there. But this man was now in a new place to receive from the Lord. Another interesting experience I just wanted to share, I think will bless most of us, and I think will bless Don too. It just tickled me. We were praying for a woman, and the demon began to manifest itself, and we didn't know what demon it was, so I just began to listen to what it was saying. It began to say, oh, I hate those tapes. Oh, I hate those tapes. And I kind of understood what he was saying. But I said, well, which ones? And he said, oh, the ones in the cymbals. The ones in the cymbals. And I got so blessed, I began to laugh in the spirit, just understanding. Now, he was talking about the tapes we received from Seattle. You know, who would have thought that demons, you know, would be bothered by simple little cassette tapes that we have on a book counter? And who would think, and for those in satellite churches, you know, demons give all kinds of excuses to people not to listen to these things. And but I got so blessed, too, I began to realize that the Spirit of the Lord has given such power in these tapes, given us such a lifeline from here to Seattle. And it just blessed me to see that the devil is afraid. He's scared of the contact that we have with Seattle here. And I was so blessed just to hear him, oh, those tapes. He just continued the utter disgust that he had for those tapes. I'm blessed by those tapes, and I have a great love for the man of God that preaches on them and about the symbols and so on. And it's just a blessing to know that God is sovereign. I know if God did this in our church so sovereignly, I know he's going to begin to do it in other places too. Praise the Lord.
That was Nikki Limbo from Johnson, Kansas.
I want to quickly share a couple of things that have happened in our church, and I want to share a couple of scriptures because I have something that's really on my heart, but I won't make it a long sermon. Actually, the five-minute time limit's no problem to me because I've been able to ever fit in anything at any time and whatever time given. In our body, we have had a few deliverances but not a lot of them yet. And there are various reasons for that. But in those that we have had, the thing that has struck my heart the most and has caused me to appreciate the sovereign work of God has been the fact that among the people that are receiving the deliverances, their marriages are being totally transformed. One woman, whom my wife had been praying for a long time, came over here one weekend with her husband and decided to stay an extra day or so, and she stayed here and had a number of people here in Seattle pray for her. And she came back, and I asked her how it went, and she was blank. She gave me a blank stare, and she says, "I don't know yet." It's like she'd emptied out so much that she didn't even really know who she was or where she was at. But within 2 or 3 days, even though I still had not talked to her, I noticed her husband was absolutely a different person. This man was free. He was manifesting love that he'd always desired to do, and he was just totally different. And their marriage, I've been watching, just, it's amazing. I've seen the difference in their child, you see. Another lady, the first person in our body who got delivered, it was, we played one of the tapes, since Nikki mentioned it, we played the tape, as a matter of fact, at one of our prayer meetings that Keith had sent Don. There were a few people there. I played it. And this woman began to manifest a spirit of fear, and she became very stiff like a board, and actually timber. She fell over like a tree. My wife grabbed her. She was just as stiff as could be. And her husband was away for 2 weeks at military camp. He's a full-time National Guard, and he was away for summer camp. And during the process of the following week, God delivered her from a number of things. And he came back, and about 10 days after he'd been back home, he said, "I don't know what happened to my wife, but she's different. I've got a new wife." And that was kind of a shock because he wasn't there to see what had happened. He came home, and he found there was a different person living with him, to his pleasure and to his joy and to his satisfaction. Another spinoff that has happened, though, as a result of our praying for deliverance, although there have not, as I said, been a lot of them yet, is that there's a hunger building in the people in our body. So much so that we've had a number of spontaneous prayer meetings, which I really appreciate, but we've had a prayer meeting on Sunday nights for a while that started as a spontaneous thing, and just recently, about a week or so ago, I could tell that there was a heart of the people. They were moving more into a desire to worship the Lord, because even though in some cases they haven't been delivered, they've been gaining strength as they've been praying for the deliverance. And I have been feeling on my heart for a long time to have Sunday evening services, but I didn't want to do this, change it just by the rule of the pastor, because it was a prayer meeting that got started on a spontaneous thing from the people. So I asked them, and they all voted 100% to have Sunday evening services an hour earlier than have prayer meeting afterwards. See, it's showing that something is building. God is doing something in the hearts, and there's such a freedom, there's a hunger for more of God and to worship Him. So I'm really thrilled. Now, a couple of the scriptures, I'm not going to turn to them all for sake of time, but in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the prophecy is that Satan would bruise the heel of the Messiah, and the Messiah's heel would bruise the serpent's head. But if you study the scriptures, you find out in Luke chapter 10, as an example, that Jesus told the disciples that they would tread upon serpents and scorpions, and they would have, he would give them all power, or power over all of the enemy, rather. Not all power, but power over all of the enemy. Now, the thing that is on my heart, and I've observed a number of people from the Seattle body here who are here over this weekend for camp meeting, whom a number of people have come and asked me, since I'm friends of some of you, to come and talk to you because you haven't been coming to services recently. For whatever reason, you're rejecting this thing that's happening. Let me tell you something. There is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 that Don has taught on many times that God has given a revelation to me concerning, from the Greek. And the scriptures show in Luke 10, in Genesis and so forth, in Malachi chapter 4, Psalms 44, Psalms 110, that God's people shall tread over the enemies that are trying to destroy them, but it shall be through the power of Yahweh. Now, this is prophecy. You believe in the rapture. You believe in God changing you. If you believe in those things, then you must believe scripture that talks about you having power over the enemy. If you are staying away because you are afraid of this thing, I can tell you that you need to be delivered from a spirit of fear. If you are staying away because you are confused by this and it goes against what you're preconceived theology was, when it's loaded with the scripture, Jesus himself rebuking demons out of people, you need to be delivered from a spirit of confusion. In any area, the thought patterns that go through your mind that are contrary to the clear-cut word of God on the matter, you must be delivered from that spirit. It is lying to you. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you all know that it is talking about the man-child who holds back the revealing of the Antichrist, who would like to be revealed before his time to destroy the very elect if possible, but the man-child and Jesus Christ and the man-child holds that one back. After, at the second revealing of the Antichrist in verse 8 and 9, in verse 9 I'll read, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The interesting thing about the Greek is, when it talks about them being deceived, the Greek word means seduced. Now, there is a difference between deception and seduction. Deception, deceiving, can involve, and we always take, almost everybody takes this as meaning the unsaved world. Brethren, the Bible was not written to the unsaved world. It was written to the Spirit-filled church. You can be deceived, which will hinder you from seeing something. But seducing involves somebody that is in a position and there is some force or some person or something that is trying to bring them to a lesser position. That's the purpose of seduction. And going on in the end of the verse, that they might be saved, the particular Greek word there is one that is commonly used for save in the New Testament. But it also means to be delivered from, and it also means to be protected from. It has all of those meanings. And it's talking about the Antichrist who lying wonders, deceiving or seducing those who love, receive not the love of the truth, that they might be delivered, the Greek can say, properly, or that they might be protected from. And what's the context? Delivered or protected from the power of the Satan and the signs and the lying wonders. So what we are saying and what this verse is saying is that if you are refusing to be delivered, you are going to be subject to the lying wonders of the serpent. You've got to open your heart. You've got to open your heart. So you have an antithesis. The Bible talks about the heel, which is the lowest member of the body of Christ. It supports and carries the rest of the body. In the New Testament, Jesus is the head, bruising the serpent's head. Brethren, that is fulfilled in the walk in the Spirit when we have come to the image of Jesus Christ. But woe unto those who refuse to be delivered.
That was Dan O'Brien from Yakima, Washington.
And I'm Bob Shaw from Spokane, Washington. And it's my privilege and honor to announce to this precious body here that Community Chapel Fellowship in Spokane is now a satellite church of Community Chapel in Seattle. And that thrills my heart, you know. As I've been there almost 2 years now, God has done miracles. God has changed people. God has brought a 300% growth. But the thing about it is that God's hand picked our foundation, I feel, that each one is set towards the kingdom. Each one desires to have Jesus Lord in every single area of their life. It's been a real honor to me to be able to see what God can do with a person that's willing. I know when I got saved a number of years ago, God put a call in my life to give out his word. But because of my past, because of inadequacies, I felt that, well, you know, maybe I can be a support or whatever. I had limitations built in myself. And I found that as I've took God's word at face value, that Jesus has transformed and transformed and transformed. And I went over to Spokane with a burning in my heart, wanting to see God's people free, but not feeling, well, I didn't want to go to be the leader. I went as a support. And as I got there, God was goading and goading and goading, and circumstances changed and so forth, and I found myself left in Spokane with my wife and my family, and not having hardly anyone. Our fellowship was one person at the time, and two that were half committed. And as my wife and I on a Sunday evening decided we're going to start praying for this town. And as we did, we began having contacts with individuals that opened up their hearts and were dying in their churches, dying in their circumstances, not knowing that Jesus was reality. He was just some far-off thing that they had heard about or learned about as a child. And from that time, we've seen God bring in one by one, or couple by couple, more like, a continual growth week by week of people that they're not coming in with problems and circumstances and rebellion and trying to refute, but they're coming in and throwing out years of tradition and formalism and allowing Jesus to work in their lives and allow the Word of God to mold them and make them. When this deliverance service started here, I heard the tapes and I did some studying and looked into the Word, and God opened up the Scriptures to me, and I found over and over, I can't look into the Word of God anymore without seeing deliverance and how God has been there. It was there all the time, but we didn't necessarily see it. But as I did, I taught a couple of evenings in a row on deliverance, and I gave principles on how demons can reside in us and how we've allowed them to come in and what we should do to get rid of them and so forth, but I gave no teaching at all on the outward manifestations that were being experienced already here, although I knew of them. I didn't tell them what to expect. I just told them we're going to get rid of these things. And as we did, and as we have been over and over, I found that I've seen every single manifestation on the outward, and some that I haven't even heard about here, that as God was delivering them, they weren't pre-programmed to do this or to do that, but as God set them free, they were. And the outward things did manifest themselves. For one example, we prayed for one man, and we were in a particular living room, and they had a big coffee table. They had a large coffee table of a beam that weighed about 150 pounds. And as I was going against the demon of anger and looking at him, his eyes were just completely glazed and in fury, and every muscle in his body was tense and just bulging with energy. He leaned over and with the fingertips of his weak hand lifted the table off the ground. And at that time, my wife was sitting on the left, on the right, and I'm sure the intention was to just tip it on over, and it would have landed on her legs or her feet. And at that time, the man's wife just jumped out and landed on the table. It hit the ground, and with a loud yell, God set him free. And then later, after it was over and we were talking, and I found that I can learn a lot of things in talking with individuals on what they experience at the time they're getting delivered. What is going on in their mind? How is that demon talking to them? How is it relating to them? What is it? And I found, as Don said, that he's a marked man. Each one of these men are marked. Each one that is in a position of authority is marked. And from that, I found that I've learned from these instances that Jesus is able. He tried later to show me how he just picked up this table and he couldn't move it. And it was supernatural manifestation. And from that, I'm so glad, and I've seen over and over, there's countless, 5 minutes is not long enough, there's countless of things that I could say, but what mainly is that I'm glad and I'm privileged to be an extension of Jesus Christ and this body to that part of the country.
Praise his name. My name is Mike Ose. I'm from Kalispell, Montana, the community chapel there. And I'd like to read one scripture as I begin to share this morning. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2, the first three verses. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at that end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I want to read that scripture in connection with what I want to share. I feel like in what I need to share this morning, I need to go back a little bit even to... ...retreat in January, because God did something profound in my life at that particular time, and God gave me a vision at that time that I was praying even back here this morning, and God began to really show me how much he had fulfilled that vision. And I am just so thankful because that's our God. When he says it, when he gives something, he accomplishes it. He speaks it and he does it. And if we just allow him to work and to show himself mighty, he will. And he has. And I could share many things also as I've looked around this body and what God has done here. And how we have waited and seen. There's been visions and things shared many times. And just seeing it unfold before our very eyes, it's so miraculous. But at that particular time, without going into a lot of detail, God, I came to the elders' retreat desiring some real things and some answers from God. And as I came there, God met me in a wonderful way from the very first night I was on the ground, and God was dealing with me deeply. But there was a couple things then as I began to see God move upon that meeting time, and it was so free and it was so wonderful. And I know inside there began to be some inadequacies, and I began to cry out inside, Lord, how in the world can I possibly give this to the satellite church? How can, because we were at a point where I felt like we were fairly free for a satellite church, but I know I was listening to Fred and others, and I thought, Lord, there's so much more, and this is so much farther beyond where we have experienced. And so I began to cry out to him, and I remember one meeting. I came before the Lord, and at the beginning of the meeting, I asked him, and there were two questions I really had. One of them was in regards to this, how it was going to happen. Another one was in regards to a question I had regarding Christian school, which I was contemplating at that time, whether we were to start one or not. And at that particular time, we kind of went on, and I forgot about what I said almost because we just began to go on with the meeting, and it was a wonderful afternoon. We were praying before God. And as I began to enter into a certain place, God began to come down upon me and begin to open up my eyes, my spiritual eyes, to see myself in a room, as it were. It was kind of similar in some senses to this room. But it was like there was a throne up before me, and I began to realize, as there was a whole progression, I can't go into it all, but there was the Lord was up on the throne, and I was in this big room all by myself. And it was like I was having a private audience before my God, and just loving him and worshiping him and glorifying him, and it was the most exhilarating feeling that I'd hardly ever experienced. And as I was in that place, I just began to rejoice in that for the longest time, but finally it came to the point that my question that I'd asked before God came back to my mind, and I said, Lord, this is so wonderful, and I'd love to stay here forever. But Lord, I'm a pastor, and I have a heart for the people of God back in Kalispell. And I need the answer. Can this thing be given to this people? How could I possibly help in the work? And it was like, it was almost as if I heard a voice from the front. And it said, look around. Just look behind you. And I began to stop at that time, and I just looked behind me, and it was like, kind of similar to here, there were doors in the back of this big room. And those doors began to just open up, and the people, I recognized their faces, they began to come in. And it was the people from our body back in Kalispell, and they were kind of coming into this place just wide-eyed, and some of them were even limping, and some were helping others as they came in. But I began to realize that even right behind me, it was like the elders were standing, and they began to worship and praise God, and they were even dancing, and some of the ladies dancing before the Lord. And as we went on, these people, as they continued to be ushered in, I could see their faces just begin to radiate, and they watched the elders, and they'd watch the pastor. And after a time, different one of them would begin to enter into that. They'd begin to enter in, and after a while, I began to see some of the elders in this begin to go back and to reach down to some and begin to pick them up a little bit and just encourage them and raise them up. And after a while, they would stand on their 2 feet and they would go to another one and go to another one. And it was so wonderful to see. And brethren, God has done that back in Kalispell. He has really done that thing. The other thing that I asked after I'd experienced this for a time, it came to my mind, the second question.
And the second question was about Christian school back there, because there's Christian schools back in Kalispell, and there's one that has a whole bunch of denominations coming together, and our children, my daughter had even gone there for a time. But we asked, I'd asked God, because I didn't have it in my mind that I was just going to start a Christian school. And I brought that question before God again. It was brought to my remembrance, and I said, Lord, what about that one too? And it was like that similar voice said, look around. And as I turned around again, those same doors were opened again, and the children just begin to be ushered into the same room. And they begin to lift up their hands before God and begin to rejoice, and they were just dancing around. And, you know, in some portions, I have not seen that totally fulfilled, but in one sense, I have seen the beginning, because next week we're going to be starting our own Christian school. And I know that even as I've been here already, I know God is going to use that time to begin to bring some of these deliverances to those children, even as He has been bringing deliverances to the adults. And God, you know, as I was standing here and seeing the worship and the praise, if you come to Kalispell, Montana, and some have come to visit many times, you come before a service, and we've just had wonderful, wonderful times of worship and songs is coming by the Spirit, and I have just been so thankful as God has laid things upon some of the ladies especially, and just beautiful songs, and I could just bask in them and bask in them. And I thought just before I left for a vacation and come up here, I said to the people, I said, do you really realize how much you have grown in less than a year? I just feel like it's been phenomenal since January up to this point now, the growth that has really happened within their lives, and the freedom and the joy. And so as specific situations came with the deliverance, all of a sudden, you know, it's interesting to be away like that, and then all of a sudden you get a report. And, you know, I can relate to Nikki and some of these others. You know, you don't know what to do with it exactly at first. Something profound is that. But I know things God had been preparing, and it was all part of this really setting God's people free. And I begin to open up to it. I begin to preach it. And I remember even one Wednesday night, we had a deliverance service, and one thing happened downstairs where a manifestation began to happen, and I was kind of like, nicking away, I don't know if I'm ready for this, see? And I was kind of talking to the people, but it opened up so wonderfully. And I just want to publicly thank Don Lockram and Scott Hartley for coming back to Kalispell, because that really opened up the door for us. And I am so thankful for those brethren to have a heart to come back and to help us in that way and give us a security and a comfort and just an awareness, an experience to behold. And so they came back, and before that time I was preaching some messages. We even had them listen to the number of the tapes that were coming from Keith and some of the testimonies that were being given. And they came and that very first night, you know, we were just kind of praying there. And I didn't know what to expect exactly. And then God spoke through, I think it was Don Lockram, and began to say that the yoke of deliverance had been put upon this pastor. And I kind of, wow, really? You know, where is it? You know, I don't feel it coming down, but I just kind of like, I accepted it by faith. I said, okay, Lord, I'm there. And after a time we'd been praying, and the next thing I knew, I kind of opened one eye and I realized Don Lockram was up front and something was happening. And he was praying for one of the young ladies in our assembly, and she was manifesting some things, and things were speaking out of her, and there was all these people that just began to come over to her and were grabbing her all over the place to hold her down. And so I kind of wandered over there, you know, and everybody's kind of just opening the way and ushering me right up to the front. I didn't know if I wanted to go up there or not, but they ushered me right to the front, and I know my heart was just standing there in amazement, just looking at this as it was beholding. And I'd look over at Don so many times, and Don just looked so calm and so assured, and I just got like, Lord, I want that right now. I just want that calmness. Take these butterflies or whatever it is out of me. And after time, he'd been going on, and then finally he kind of looked at me and he said, well, brother, I need to go on to some other people. Why don't you continue on? And he just left. He just left me. He told me later, he did that on purpose, you know, because he wanted me to enter right into the fray. But I was so thankful, and there was a couple of the other people right there. Boy, I was just so thrilled. Even as I looked around at my body, they were just moving right into it. Moving right into it. And God has done some wonderful things. I can say that in some senses we have not had maybe a fullness of a lot of the manifestations that I've heard back here. But I think there are some reasons for that too. But we have had consistently a growing in deliverance and many different deliverances. And I've seen people change and move on into new places. And that's why I'm so thrilled, even with the children. I know God has more for our children, too, as they go into the Christian school. An opportunity to really allow them to have deliverance touches in their lives. And I just appreciate your prayers, even as every one of these gentlemen down here, we appreciate your prayers for us as we continue to go on. And I just want to give God glory because he's so wonderful. He's fulfilled the vision. Terry, wait for it. It shall surely come at the appointed time.
My name is Alan McManus, and I'm from Bozeman Community Chapel. And as Mike is taking care of the northern part of Montana, I'm taking care of part of the south. And maybe one day we'll meet in the middle, and we'll have all the demons gone and everything else. But I just want to say we've been experiencing some wonderful, wonderful things in Bozeman. And the deliverance has started last spring. And when Keith came out to the body here and was sharing what was going on, and we'd been listening to the tapes and I've been talking to the people about it, and we didn't know what to expect, just like everybody else has said. You know, we know things theologically, but when you jump into it experientially, it's a different thing. And, Keith came through. He called me just about the time he was ready to leave here, and he wanted to know if he could stop in. Well, you know, I heard a lot of things, and I was excited, and, of course, I didn't know what to expect, but he came through on a Wednesday, I believe it was, or Tuesday night, and we set up, and he shared with us, and a lot of our people, they took time off of work and they took the time off for Wednesday because they were expecting, and that's been the heart of the people there in Bozeman. I tell you, I feel so blessed having a people like that have been so hungry for God and His Word. And we started with three people, and we've got more than that now. We've got, there's probably about 40 or 50 with the children, but they're hungry and they want God, and they took time off and they came early Wednesday, and Keith was sharing a little bit, and we started to pray, but we hadn't experienced any manifestations before that. But that morning, when we hardly even got down to pray, and one lady that has been a real prayer warrior and a real solid Christian, she just came in the door, and she hadn't heard anything about, as far as what Keith had been sharing, and she knelt down, and of course, me knowing her, I looked at her, and I could tell something was going on. I could tell it was different than what she was really like. And Keith walked by her to go back and get a drink, and he came back, and boy, that thing just reacted. I mean, just right now. And there was a tremendous reaction. In fact, it was one of the most profound manifestations that we've had there. We've had quite a few of them. But what happened was it was so profound that everybody else, they looked at it, and instead of standing back, they all just jumped right in. I mean, they were right down there, and they were praying. And we don't have one person that is skeptical about deliverance back there. In fact, most of us have gone through some sort of deliverance. And it was because they saw their brother and sister down there, and they knew that wasn't them. They knew that wasn't them. And their hearts went out to them, and their automatic reaction was to lay hands on them and start praying for them. And so we went through the whole afternoon praying, and there was another one that afternoon. But that night, we have our Wednesday night Bible study. Well, I more or less turned over to Keith, and we had worship service and so on. But we broke it up, and we started praying for deliverance. And right away, there was four or five manifestations, just bang. And our church is kind of in a residential area. And, you know, there was a lot of noise and a lot of screaming. You know, I was kind of, oh, boy, what's going on here? You know, now what are the neighbors going to think? And I was down working. I was working with one, and all of a sudden, two more. You know, just one of them came up picking up two chairs and was ready to throw them. And Scott Widener caught one, and it took about four of us to handle that situation. But you know, and I was sitting there, and I knew that God was doing things, and I was thrilled to death because I knew it was real. But I looked up at Keith because I know he looked at me, and he could tell I was kind of worried. And I looked up at him with a worried look on my face. And he looked at me and he said, "Glory." You know, I said, "Glory." And so we were there most of the night praying. And we've had deliverances ever since then. And I know it. And Keith left the next morning, you know. And I know he kind of was wondering, boy, I hope he makes it. And I hope I do too, you know. But you know, God gave me such a boldness. And Keith handed the situations over to me. And I just... I felt such a boldness in God and assurance and that I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was the Spirit of God. And as I kept my mind in that framework and just dealt with those demonic forces that they were leaving. And we've had some profound things as far as deliverance. And 5 minutes would not is not sufficient for me to share all the things. But, you know, there was kind of a After that, we went on for about a month, and we had a lot of deliverances, people getting set free, some of them over and over again. Some have gone through 10 major deliverances with 30 or 40 other demonic forces that left them, and it kind of subsided a little bit. And about 3 weeks ago, it was like I realized that the devil was trying to trick us. It was I just felt like, you know, that he was trying. We had wonderful worship and all those things. Everything was going really good, but I just kind of felt like he was trying to hide from us. And so I just started praying, Lord, I know that you didn't bring all this up just so that we would go back into our old ways of just praying and so on and so forth. And we started praying that God would bring manifestations, that he would allow these things to happen again. And as soon as we did that, the women's prayer meeting, which has just been a real blessing on Thursday mornings, all of a sudden I got a call. We were over watching the children, and I got a call at the church and told me to come over. There was a lady that was going through a manifestation with a suicide and death, and it was so powerful. And I went over there, and we dealt with that thing, and it was just, it was such a powerful manifestation of this demonic force. But boy, God started coming down, and that thing started screaming, "Help me, help me, help me!" And I thought it was her, and so we just started really praying. And all of a sudden, it said, "Help me, Satan! Help me, Satan!" And he said, "The angels are coming," and that whole room literally glowed. I mean, it was just like the heavenly host came down, and the women started singing in the spirit in unison. It was just beautiful. And that thing just left, and there was such a freedom, such a freedom. But you know, this deliverance has brought such a unity to our body, such a unity, and I appreciate it so much because the people have just entered right into it. We haven't taught a lot about it. A lot of people check out tapes, and so I don't teach a lot on that because I feel that there's a, you know, we're pretty new, and I've been laying the foundations and so on, but it has really unified us and knit us together like never before. And the Sunday after Keith left, it was one man had a real deliverance, but only it was not through a manifestation. He's a new Christian. And he came in and he sat down. He's kind of quiet and shy, not anymore, but he was then. And he was sitting there, and we were singing worshiping the Lord. And Scott was just kept playing these songs over and over and over. And all of a sudden, he started to break. He just started to weep. And he was sitting in the chair right next to the aisle, and he was just starting to break. And another brother came over, and he didn't know what was going on, and he was laying hands on him, and he was looking at me like he was worried, and I knew that God was just coming down on him, and I just said, "Just leave him alone, just leave him alone." We just kept singing that song over and over and over. Pretty quick, he fell out of the chair just weeping, and this was on Sunday morning service, and he crawled over to the corner, and he just laid in the corner. We call it Dave's Corner now, and he just laid in the corner with his hands raised, just tears just streaming down. And the glory of God just kept coming and coming, and it was so wonderful. He couldn't even move. And I don't know how long he stayed there. I think halfway through the sermon, too, you know. And he was just in the glory of God, and he's been changed. He's a changed man. And through these deliverances, God's been setting his people free. And so many of them, a few of them have, you know, after they've gotten his deliverance, I can't remember which brother shared about how, I think it was Dan, how they just don't even know who they are. And that's the way it's been. But, you know, God's been filling them now with his word, been filling them full with his word. And I see such a unity there. And in closing, we've just purchased some land. We're going back and building, and the people, we're going to build from the ground up. And God's doing wonderful things, and all the people are just so excited. And we've got a couple carpenters and electricians, plumbers, and so on. And we're all just going to pitch in. And I know that's going to unify us more, but God's done wonderful things. I'm excited. We've got a vision for what God's going to do in Bozeman. The people are, I just love them so much. They're 100% behind me, and I'm 100% behind this pastor because I feel that I'm just an extension of the vision that God has given him, and I just appreciate it. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Appreciating these testimonies. Got one more to go yet. Keith mentioning glory, doing the battle there, reminds me of a cartoon that I drew, and most of you are familiar with my cartoons, or at least have been going to Bible college banquets, and a lot of you have seen it. And this was at a time when our church was the neighborhood was fighting us furiously to keep us from occupying this 44 acres that we bought, 36 acres. And they were mad, you know, and they were saying that, you know, this has been on motorcycle trails, and we need this, you know, for, might we make a public park out of it, and we don't need another church in the area. Let them go out in the country. And they were lying, and they were accusing, and the demons were, you know, I heard one woman, the demon came out to her. She just, I knew it was a demon all the time, that she was just letting it pull out. And even the fire marshal hauled off, slugged one of her security officers, and he lied about the pipe coming in here, so trying to keep us from being able to build. Saying there's not enough water, you wouldn't be able to have enough water. There's only a 6-inch line coming in here. And I had a letter taken down to the fire marshal, saying, well, if that's true, the insurance company's going to be interested to know that all these houses are in jeopardy, and you better do something, so forth. So they looked at the maps and then found a 12-inch line on the other side of the street besides. And then I insisted that they write a letter and get down to the public, to the planning commission down there, or else there was going to be, you know, some things said here about the fire department. They read that in front of the fire department. I saw Paul Borden, his head just shook like that, and Mr. Sands from the Planning Commission and so forth, and doing all that battle. It prompted me to draw this cartoon, and here we showed the community chapel, and showed all the people mad, you know, one person was breaking a bottle over a fire hydrant, you know, to get the jagged edge, you know, to use, here was a security officer picking people coming in, and I even had a picture of Superman was laying dead there on the ground. And two security officers coming by, and one of them was saying to the other one, kind of a rough night tonight, you know. And anyway, there's a lot more in the cartoon. But there was one fellow with his face just beaming, and he just said, glory, just like the New Testament, you know. See? And that reminded me of Keith Hill. You know, the average Christian has fear of the devil. But when you begin recognize the power you have in God and see God in action, and you see these things happening, and even though the demon's actions are unlovely, the results in the people are lovely and marvelous. And we can say, glory. See, this is just a feel of, you mean all this, I hate all this stuff these demons do. Well, we do too. That's why we're getting them out. And we hate all the things they've been doing for a long, 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 long time. I hate the covert operation. And we're not saying demon manifestations are lovely. They're ugly. But you see, my concept of the Church of Jesus Christ is not a beautiful little pageantry before the Lord. We're in a war, brother. We're in a warfare against the devil. And the devil comes right into religion, right into the church, right into people of God. That's where he always fights. And that's where the fight is. The fight isn't out there. He's got them. And whenever you come against the devil, brother, you're going to have a fight. But when you do, in the name of Jesus, you win. You know, you walk by, and here's Israel on this side of the hill, and look across the veil, and there's the Philistines on the other side, and there Goliath is standing up, and here he's defying the armies of Israel. Send me a man to fight. You know, and somebody stops by from another country, and he decks into the tent of Saul and says, boy, this is ugly. You Israel, I mean, you know, why don't you just have marching bands and all this? What's all this ugliness? I don't like this. King Saul, with all propriety, say, we don't either. And David goes down and he chops his head off with a sword, see. And uses his own sword to do it, which is a little spiritual piece of tidbit here you can chew on. And brings the head back, you know, and the sword back. And somebody says, oh, that's ugly. I mean, why do we have to have all this stuff? See, when you fight with the devil, it is ugly. But there's victory. And because of that, the Philistines fled and Israel took over the land. And because of what's happening, the demons are fleeing and God, and the Spirit of the Lord is taking over the land. See, we've got to get things in right perspective. People say, well, I want to go to one of these sedates. I don't like to have all that stuff happen. I want one where the devil works covertly. Oh, you mean where people just keep the demons? Well, they don't even know he's operating. And here he's working underground in them and subverting them. And they just all getting sleepier and deader and deader. And they live in their sins and nobody touches their sins. The pastor wouldn't dare say a thing about it. All the demons would get manifest to people and they'd all yell and scream and attack and leave the church. And he dare not say a word. Is that what you want? Not me. I've been watching the move of God too long, and I know we've got to move on to do what God wants us to do. And so I'm glad for what God is doing. Because I am not ministering, and I said this a long time ago, I'm not ministering for today. I'm not ministering for this year. I am ministering for the final outcome. I am putting all my eggs in the basket of understanding of prophecy and the vision of God, and I'm ministering in a different way than if I was just trying to see how big a happy crowd I could get. You know, this isn't a popularity contest we're running. This is a war with the devil, and we're doing serious business, and the work we're doing today is the foundation. There are people who want to come in and build all the, you know, start hanging curtains before you even get the beams, you know, locked in place. But, it looks so good to have the curtains up while you're still working on the place. But we're still down here in the dirt laying pouring concrete and getting a nice wide foundation and building big stones down there and fitting them together. Because we're going to have a foundation that's going to hold a building of immense height. And when you build a skyscraper, you don't just put a few little concrete blocks in the corners to put the building on. You don't just try to see how fast you can rush it up. First thing you do, you go down about six stories for a big skyscraper. They go down about six stories for a normal skyscraper. And they build something that can hold something. And that's what we're doing. We are slowly building something that's going to be big. Anybody can quickly build something that's not going to be big. So that's what we're doing. Jack, come up and share with us.
My name's Jack McDonald from Tacoma. We're a little southeast on the Jordan. We can sneak across real quick when we need supplies. So, these other brothers have a longer run. My reaction to the demonic deliverance was completely opposite. I thought, praise God, we can finally go into battle. Because of my background, I came out of the occult, and I knew how demonic forces work, and I had a hatred for him. And previously, I felt the Lord had led me into demonic study 5 or 6 years ago, and I had already had pigs in the parlor and had practiced it and had self-deliverances, and I knew that God was going in this direction. But at that time, the pastor said, "Well, not at this time," so I submitted it, laid it on the shelf until the time that it came. But when I heard that tape that says that he was going to purchase pigs in the parlor, I let a glory shout. I said, hallelujah, we're on the right track. Now we can get after these demons. And some of the demonic forces that we ran into, I've got them briefly. Some of the ones that struck my mind was a lying spirit in a young man. And my first thought was, it's just a lying spirit, you know, a small lying spirit. And so we begin to rebuke it, and it manifested itself, and then it says, I'm gone, Jack. And I said, well, if you're gone, why are you talking to me? And from that point on, this thing manifested, and I seen the strength that it had, and I begin to respect the power of the devil. And begin to pray that, you know, God would give me discernment over them. Next one that we run into was the spirit of death. I begin to pray against the spirit of death and suicide. But this particular one was suicide, or excuse me, death. And it said it wasn't going to come out. And we conversed back and forth a little bit. Then, all of a sudden, the person began to have the manifestation of death. It just choked the person, and it fell kind of over, and there was not a sound. And I began to pray, Lord, help me. Lord, just touch this one. I put my hand on the throat, and I said, release it, release that throat. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I said, spirit of death, you are not going to win. And this person was then in my arms, just laying there like that. And pretty soon I heard a feeble voice say, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you, you spirit of death. I rebuke you, you spirit of death. I rebuke you, you spirit of death. And then the coughing came and the person was set free. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the next one was a spirit of witchcraft. And as the Lord discerned the spirit of witchcraft, I called it out, and it looked, you could see the eyes become glazed, and it started to manifest a very hysterical laughing. Ha, 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 just laugh. And it took me back, you know, and I didn't know what to do. And it began to manifest that way, and I began to rebuke it, and it just laughed so hard at me, you know, it started to intimidate me. But then I got my balance back, and I began to hold the name of Jesus against it. You're coming out in the name of Jesus. You're coming out in the name of Jesus. And with great coughing, this one left, and victory was wrought in that one. Another interesting one was the spirit of fear. The person's arm began to grow numb, and pretty soon it could feel her whole arm go numb, and then pretty soon down the fingers, and pretty soon the fingers started tingling, and then she says, it's gone, and it went right out the end of her fingers. And that was, you know, an unusual one. So we began to pray with this person different other times, and she had, I think, three other demons went down her arm, and they became numb, but they came out her wrist, you see. And so that's what's happening. They go different ways. Another one, we prayed against the spirit of rebellion and pouting, things like this, and the demon wouldn't come out, and finally the Lord led us to understand that the person had unforgiveness towards their parents, and we got them to confess that unforgiveness, and the power of God came down and set this person free. But in the area of talking to the demons, not that I believe in them, but they did indicate that through TV is where, when this person was young, that the spirit of rebellion and pouting got its way, you see. Last Wednesday night, we have prayer meetings, deliverance meetings on Wednesday nights. There was a lady came to the meeting. She called and asked if she could, and she would begin to pray, and the power of God hit her, and she went down. We got her minister, got her back up, and through discernment, we cast out four demons out of her, and she was sold on the Tacoma Fellowship. She's moving right there. Another one, the last one I'd like to close with was, this is the one that might cause Mrs. Brace some problems. We were in three or four different groups praying, and my wife and two other ladies were praying for another young lady, and they closed this little ante room, we'll call it, in the front there, and they were praying away, and all of a sudden, we heard this great rejoicing through these closed doors. You know, I mean, it was really loud. What had happened in there? And they were praying for a spirit of rock and roll in this girl. And all of a sudden, this girl began to cough as the deliverance came forth. And my wife felt something hit the top of her hand. And just as it hit the top of her hand, one of the other girls praying for it looked down there and she said, I didn't think Tootie had a mole on her hand. And she looked down there and picked it up, and there was a rock, a little rock on top of her hand. And now if it would have been somebody else ministering other than my wife, who I've been married to for 25 plus years, she says this rock came, and she's got the rock. It's in her purse if anybody wants to analyze it, and maybe the pastor will comment on what, I don't know, but strange things are happening. But there was a great rejoicing, and maybe God just gave the sign with that rock coming out. And I want to share my heart just briefly that I am thankful for the teaching here, and that my heart is submitted to Pastor Barnett, and I can feel 100% secure in his ministry and the tapes that we have. We have a tape library. All the tapes that come forth from here are checked out to our people, and we have approximately 50 people, and we have a vision. We're believing for a sanctuary about this size, maybe a little bigger. God bless you.
Jack lacks lots of room to operate in. Yeah, I will make a comment about that rock and also about coughing. About the rock, Lester Sumrall, who has a large church in North Bend, Indiana, South Bend, is it? South Bend, Indiana, who was instrumental in sparking the great revival in the Philippines in the early 1950s, I believe. Either that or starting at the end of 1940s, I'm not sure which, in which 70,000 people came into that revival, giving the hearts of the Lord. They bought a B-52 hangar surplus, and must have been later than that. In the 50s, anyway, and put it up in Manila. It held 5,000 people. His ministry really, I think, got started there, if I'm not mistaken, by... There was a woman in Villa Vita prison in Manila who was demon-possessed to the point she was insane, and had been in the newspapers, and the people knew about it. And I don't remember the story exactly, all the details, but he was asked to go visit her or something, maybe by a minister there. And he fasted and prayed for 3 days, I think he said. And I was in his meetings at this time when he was telling about it. And he went, and this girl, they told him they didn't want him to go in there alone as a minister because she was so wild. The demons were acting up so wildly. They were afraid of his life. And, you know, normally you wouldn't be afraid. He's a pretty big man. You wouldn't be afraid of a girl, but she was wild. These demons were, just like we read about in the scripture, the Gadarene, you know, breaking the bonds that they'd put around them, you know. But she was getting bitten by demons. And there was teeth marks in the back of her neck and blood running out. And she would scream and shriek. And run about screaming and shrieking. And my wife and I cast a demon out of a man. Somebody, one of these big-hearted community chapel people stopped by and got this drunk Indian out of a tavern and brought him up here to the prayer meeting. And some of these new converts to community chapel do anything. I've been woke up in the middle of the night. He got one woman off of a roof. She was going to commit suicide. She was going to jump off the roof, and he'd bring her into my driveway about 3 in the morning, you know. And you wouldn't believe some of the faith of some of the new converts. They walk on water anytime. So we cast a demon out of this fella in the foyer. And he began to, well, first, just before we cast him out, he began to say, we first came in, he said, you're different. And he got scared and he kind of kept away from me. And then that demon took over and he got bold and he said, I'm Jesus. Do you understand? I'm Jesus. And he was just a rage, you know. Come a big fella, big scar on his face. Like, you know, just like vehement. And I rushed him and put my hands on him, and I rebuked that demon in the name of Jesus, and he fell to the floor there. And then the spirit came on the outside of his back, of his neck. And he turned like this, and he was looking at it, and he was looking. He couldn't see anything, I don't think, but he could feel it, and he was screaming, and he was clawing at his back. And that reminded me what happened there in Bella Vita prison. But later, Lester Sumrall told her after she was delivered. He said, now, see, she was in her right mind. And so she had nobody part. She didn't assist in the deliverance at all. And then he said, now, you see, he cast that demon out, but he fasted and prayed for several days because he was going to go in against somebody's will who was demon-possessed, as opposed to somebody willing and cooperating. I've cast demons out of people several times, you know, and it just that fast. Well, this one wasn't cooperating either, but others who, as soon as they opened up, you know, as soon as the will was okay, as soon as they renounced the demon, boom, they got delivered just like that. And unsaved people, unsaved, they acknowledged Jesus and rebuked the devil, and that demon just left like that. But he told her, he said, now you're going to have to stand yourself because he's going to come back because he has a right, see, to find out whether, when you're delivered, whether you want him or not. So you're going to have to stand yourself, and he warned her. This demon chased her all the way across the campus. And she was screaming and so forth, but she finally came to a place, and she took a stand and was finally left, and she went to a struggle. And when she got done, now this is according to Lester Sumrall, unless he's a big liar, and he just had come back from the Philippines. God had moved marvelously in the Philippines and then in China, and he came back, and he was really being anointed of God and used at that time in these areas in an apostolic way. And he came back, and when she came back, she had hair in her hand, clutching in her hand from fighting this thing. There was a manifestation. And they sent it to a university lab in Manila, and it was analyzed, and they said, it's not any hair of any man or animal that we know of. And it's not indigenous to the Philippines. You read about Jennies and Jamborees in Egypt in your Bible. You'd like to go back to your Bible. And we find out that when Moses threw his rod down and God caused it to turn into life into a serpent, they said, oh, no big deal. They were so loaded with demons. I mean, they were so given over to the things of the devil. They threw down their rods and they became serpents. Now, they can't create life. They didn't create a real living serpent. That wasn't a real serpent. That was a demon manifestation is what it was. Demons took like that. Just like when it came to Jean Dixon, she always said to come to me in the form of a serpent. And such love I feel from the serpent comes in the form of a serpent. Now, that's what Jean Dixon is claiming. Right now, people are buying her new books. Just on the other day, she's got articles out and things that are, I can't remember what it is now. You can dial her predictions and so forth. But at any rate, don't do it. The Bible says don't trust in that type of thing. The Bible forbids it. But anyway, then God had Moses' serpent swallow up their serpents. Then God caused a plague of frogs. And they caused frogs. Demon manifestations. Frogs all over the place. Looked like frogs, you know. Sides going in and out. The big bug's eyes, color of frogs, popping around like frogs. Demons. Manifesting. You know, we've got a lot to learn about what demons can do. I read a report from Chicago University, non-religious, totally secular, where they've been studying psychic phenomena and other types of things. They don't call it demons. They know nothing about that. And they went down to Brazil, which is rife with spiritism and with demonic works. And I read, they went into seances, because that's where these things are happening. They're studying these things. And they're doing it on a scientific basis, although they'll never learn the truth, because they're not doing it on a spiritual basis. Nonetheless, they went down in the seance, and I read about this from in a report. And they had a woman who was going to go into a seance. So they got permission to, because they wanted to investigate, see if it was true, see if it was a big trick. And these people were all convinced it was absolute truth. So they said, sure, go right ahead. You know, they can go ahead and you can do it to your checks. So they did. So they put her on the scales and they weighed her after seeing some things happening from before. They weighed her. She weighed so much and they noted it down, a scientific thing. Lights were turned down and she went into a seance. And some greenish-gray stuff began coming out of her mouth, visibly, and boiling around in the air. They called it ectoplasm, was what they called it. And as it came out of her mouth, the scales began to go down. And it went down 45 pounds. And this stuff kept boiling around until it took on a shape of an apparition of a man. And then a voice came out of it. And it said, "I am a monk from the 12th century. My name is so-and-so." Of course, it was a lying demon. "And God has sent me to heal you of your diseases." And it went over to the people. And this apparition put his hands on him. And the people reported sicknesses leaving them. You see, demons are willing to sacrifice and have a few demons. They were going to have a few demons say, "Okay, now you people are called off, and you've got to leave them right now. You can come back later, but right now you're going to leave, because we want to convince these people and deceive them." See, that's what's happening. The demonic world, the spirit world, can intrude upon and even use material things. You know about levitation of tables? You know demons do that. How are they handling material? They throw mud through the air, footprints on the floor. You can hear them. How can spirits make footprints? Clump, 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 clump. See? Doors slamming. You know about those things. It's been documented thousands of times. They can intrude upon and materialize and so forth. So it's not a big problem for me to understand that they might have a rock there. It's maybe a symbol of what they're talking about. Even as rock music, they're going to put a rock. They're going to put a symbol and leave a demonic symbol. That's what cancer is. These other things, because cancer is a living thing in you. It's a demonic, but it's a material thing. And these spirits are able to materialize in viruses and disease and various things in your body. And so I don't really have trouble believing that. I don't believe everybody who claims something. I mean, I've lived long enough to know that a lot of people lie and exaggerate and rumors build and all that type of thing. But there have come enough things from reputable sources. I've seen enough things over the years, both from God that are outstanding and from the demons that are outstanding and in the Bible that's outstanding, that I am somewhat a believer in the area. As to coughing, I wanted to say this. Demons do leave through various methods. We know that. Through the head, down through the fingers. People feel them. They feel them go. People have seen demons leave right out through the head and the mind. The people have felt them go, and they've come out through the breath. And when they come up out through the breath, sometimes they kind of make the person choke right in the throat. They kind of, and they choke. The Bible talks about, you know, this person who was, the demon tore him as he came out. He actually tore him, tore flesh. The spirit tore flesh. Threw him to the ground. See, they manipulate material. And so the person makes him choke. But the salient point is they choke because the demon was lodged in him and fighting him before he finally came out. Choking was not a device to get rid of the devil. It was an outcome of him leaving. Therefore, when people begin to heal, "Oh, choking. Oh, yeah, okay." What are you going to do? Think they have a demon. That isn't how you get rid of them. That's what they do sometimes to you. You wouldn't grab your flesh and start trying to tear it, put a stick down your throat and try to tear it. Think they have a demon. Because the Bible says he tore him and he came out. There's a difference in the result and the cause. So you don't go around trying to do things like that to get rid of something. And that's what a lot of them ail. People are around all trying to do this, trying to scream. Some people, these demons will scream to them before they leave. They are in horror of having to lose their position and go and be punished by Satan for it, as some of them have said they had to do, if that be true. But you can't scream to get rid of them. And I've heard whole assemblies, I got it on tape, all of them screaming, everybody screaming, trying to get rid of a demon. You can't get rid of demons by screaming. You can't stop them from screaming if they're in there, if they're trying to come through, although sometimes. And we rebuke them in the name of Jesus and command them to, and sometimes they will, and some to cease, and sometimes they won't. So that's my report on that. Now, what we'd like to do is have you stand for a moment, and while you're doing this, I would like to invite Sandy. Would you like to come up and minister to us while you're standing? Are you prepared to do that this time? Okay. Right after you're seated, after the song, then we'd like to invite the ushers to come and receive the morning offering.